out of every dollar that you put in it. Or go to a Bryant modulating furnace that's 97% efficient, keeps you comfortable, as well as saves you a little bit of money.
What does the slogan really stand for Bryant, and what does it really mean?
Well, Bryant, whatever it takes, means we'll do whatever it takes to keep our customers comfortable. Whether their furnace is going out in the middle of the night, we'll be there when they need us. We have people on call 24 hours a day, whatever it takes.
You really pride yourself in customer service.
We try as hard as we can. Can't say we never make a mistake, but we give it our best shot.
And how do people get a hold of you, Kerry, to say get the ball rolling?
We make it as easy as possible. You can get us at 325-3969 for Stevens Point area, 342-0911, or just visit us online, comfortair.biz.
Here's your forecast from the WeatherEye Weather Center.
This afternoon, skies are going to become cloudy. We may have an isolated rain shower develop with our winds out of the northwest 5 to 10, highs in the low 50s. Could have a lingering rain shower tonight. Otherwise, skies will be mostly cloudy with west winds and lows falling into the mid-30s. Then on Saturday, mostly cloudy sky. We could have a spotty rain shower develop with west winds 5 to 10. Highs will make it into the middle 50s. From the WeatherEye Weather Center, powered by weatherology.com, I'm meteorologist Greg Tatro.
Thank you, Greg. It's cloudy and 45 in Wausau, 45 in Marshfield, 43 in Point, and partly sunny and 46 degrees here at AM 1320 in Wisconsin Rapids.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine, presented by Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Riverview Hospital in Wisconsin Rapids. It's time for part two. Once again, here's Carl Hilke.
Thanks again, Jerry, and welcome back to today's show on AM 1320 and on WFHR.com. It's time for another edition of Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management here in Wisconsin Rapids. And you can contact your local investment professionals at 715-422-0700. They're located at 241 3rd Street South here in Wisconsin Rapids. And joining us today, as Pete is out of town, is Joel Sullivan, one of the partners. And we're going to be talking about retirement planning. So, good morning.
Good morning, Carl.
Okay, so this is a topic, some people go, oh boy, retirement planning. They get nervous, they get scared, they get frustrated, they get all of the above.
Well, that can happen. And, you know, when people do get nervous and scared, they tend to procrastinate, put things off, and not do anything, so which is probably the worst thing you could do.
And so we're going to talk a little bit about that to start off with some misconceptions we all have. And I'm sure we've all been guilty of saying one of these three things, which is, I can't save now, but I'll catch up later. I'll spend a lot less in retirement. If I haven't saved enough, I'll just work longer.
Yes, we do hear these on a regular basis, and fairly common statements by people. And start off with the first one, I can't save now, but I'll catch up later. You know, procrastination, it's usually not a good thing in life, and it's definitely not a good thing when saving for retirement. One of the things, you know, that is so powerful about starting early and not procrastinating is compound interest. And again, compound interest is a very powerful thing over time, can really grow your investments. I'll give you an example. Let's say, and you can look at this a lot of different ways, but it's really simple math. And to give you a hypothetical example, let's say there's two individuals that are starting off in the workforce, and they're going to save for retirement. So we'll start off with Susan, and Susan is not a procrastinator, so she gets started right away, and she's 25 years old and puts away $5,000 a year for 10 years. So from age 25 to 35, she puts away $5,000, and then for whatever reason, she stops. And again, to illustrate this point, she puts away $50,000, and when she's 65, based on assumed rate of return, she has just over $600,000. Now, let's contrast that with Bill, who is the procrastinator. He says, well, I'll catch up later. So Bill, you know, he's 25, but he puts it off, and he puts it off, and then until he's 35. Now he's 35 years old, and he says, well, I better get started now. So he puts away $5,000 a year, same as Susan, for 30 years, all the way from 35 till he's 65 and ready to retire, $150,000. Guess who has more money at the end of those years?
Yeah.
Well, the answer is Susan. So
right.
Susan puts away $50,000. She has over $600,000. Bill saves for 30 years and only has $540,000. And it really speaks to the power of compounding.
Yeah. So the earlier you start, the better, bottom line.
Yeah, there's just no way to... It's very difficult to catch up in later years.
Okay. So, some other common questions. How much do I need? People, when they're... Okay, I do the saving. I've been saving and saving, but costs keep rising. How much will I need, Joel?
Well, you know, people think, you know, that they're going to spend a lot less in retirement. And so that's another thing where people say, well, maybe I don't need to save as much because, you know, when I retire, I'm not going to be spending as much. And that's a trap that you can fall into. Now, it is true that if you look at studies and if somebody is, you know, 62 today and they're going to retire, you know, next month, their spending will probably go down about 15%. So, yes, it's true, you know, from this year to next year, you spend a little bit less money. Not as less as people would think because, you know, typically you're traveling at that time and you have other expenses. But the trap is if you're, you know, in your 30s or 40s, even 50, and you're saving for retirement, and you think, well, I'm not going to need as much money because I'm going to spend a lot less. And that's not necessarily the case. You might buy less things, but not necessarily spend less money. And the reason for that is inflation. We often talk about inflation as the silent thief. And, you know, you don't notice inflation from week to week or month to month, even maybe a year down the road. You don't notice things have gone up by that much. But over 5 and 10 and 20 years, inflation can have a huge impact on how much you need in retirement. Give you another example. Looking at the math of this situation, if you were spending and buying things today and spending $50,000, so let's say, you know, on your gas and your electric bills and food and et cetera, you're spending about $50,000 today. 20 years from now, you're going to need $100,000 to buy those same things. And again, it's really about inflation. And as a retired person, you know, medical costs is...
I was going to say medical costs. That's the one that scares everybody.
Yeah. And so when we use average inflation rate, we're looking at 3.5%. You know, that example I gave to you earlier. But medical costs are rising anywhere from 5.5% to 6.5%. And that's a big part of your expenditures when you're over 65.
Okay. So that means not only do you have to have a strategy for saving the money, you have to have a strategy for how you're going to spend it and covering other unexpected expenses.
Yes. So, again, the studies show that of the cost for a retired person, 14% of what they spend money on as a retired is for medical costs. So it's a big part. And again, that's increasing faster than the average rate of inflation in the economy.
Okay. Is a Roth IRA a good choice?
Well, you know, we get that question on a regular basis too. And so the thing is, it kind of depends. When we start this discussion, the first thing I'll talk to people about is what kind of options do you have at work? So if you work for a company with a 401k plan and they're matching at work, that's probably where you want to start. You just can't beat that return. If they're matching 5% of what you put in, that's 100% return. You're not going to be able to duplicate that in the marketplace. So usually let's say, focus on what's going on at work, get the maximum match at work, and then, yes, it makes a lot of sense to look at the Roth IRA. There's a number of advantages with the Roth. The income limits are higher with a Roth, so some people, they make too much money, they're not able to do a traditional IRA, but because the income limits are higher with a Roth, you still are eligible to do that. And you can put away, depending on your age, anywhere from $5,500 to $6,500 a year. And a couple of the advantages of the Roth are... Now, you don't get to deduct that contribution this year, but that money is going to grow tax-free for you, and when you take it out after age 59 and a half, it's going to come out tax-free. So a lot of people find that very attractive to be able to have tax-free income in retirement. In addition, another thing that happens when people are starting off saving is, you know, where should I put my money? I know I need to save some money. Again, you know, should I put it in a Roth? Should I put it in 401k? Or what about emergency needs? And there's... Typically, when you read the the mass literature, and they'll talk about, well, you should have 3 to 6 months of emergency money, 3 to 6 months of what you would normally spend. You should have an emergency cash reserve, so if something unexpected comes up, you have the money. Well, sometimes that can interrupt retirement savings. But the nice thing about the Roth is when the contributions you make to the Roth, you can actually take those out if an emergency, without any penalties, you could take those contributions out if an emergency should occur. So that's another one of the advantages of the Roth.
And this is this next question before we go to break is one that is debated a lot nowadays, it seems. At what age should I file for Social Security? Yeah.
Well, yeah, that is, we hear that a lot, and it's a fairly involved answer. Again, it depends on your situation, as many of these things do, but the situation with this is typically you want to delay applying for Social Security benefits, and that runs a little contrary to what people think, because, you know, I've worked all these years, and now I'm finally, let's say, 62, and now's my chance to you know, collect some of that money that I've paid into for all these years. But if you're in a situation where you have to have that money, you need that money to meet expenses, well, then it's not really a choice. You're just going to apply for Social Security and end a discussion. But if you're in a situation where you have other options, like investments that you've saved over the years, and you can access those, it's definitely in your best interest to delay Social Security. And it's pretty significant. If you look at delaying at least until your retirement age, and retirement age for those born between 43 and 1954, full retirement age is 66, as defined by Social Security, or if you're born after 1954, 67. So to delay from 62 to your full retirement age is definitely a good idea, and it may be a good idea to delay all the way until age 70. I don't know if you want me to talk about the math on that.
Yeah, why don't we? We got some time.
Well, to go into that, it's really a huge difference. Really, you're looking at over a 7% gain per year that Social Security is going to give to you by putting that off. And when you look at that, I mean, think of that as if a local bank or credit union here in town's, you know, put an ad out and said, you know, we're going to offer you an 8-year CD paying 7% a year. People would be lined up, you know, down the street for something like that. And that's essentially what Social Security is saying to you, that if you delay this, you're basically earning 7% on your retirement benefits. So, again, it's a huge difference. I mean, an example, if you're 62 and your benefits are $1,900, if you waited till 70, your benefits would be over $4,300.
Wow, that's a huge difference.
Big difference. Big difference.
Okay, we're talking about retirement planning here on Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management, and we're visiting with Joel Sullivan. And when we come back, we'll talk about some other things to consider when planning for your retirement. You're listening to Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management here on The Morning Magazine on AM 1320, as well as on the web at WFHR.com.
Buena Vista Investment Management of Wisconsin Rapids understands today's global markets and brings small-town values and creative investment solutions to your financial portfolio. With active financial managers and great customer service, Buena Vista Investment Management is here to see that your financial well-being is here for many years to come. Give them a call today at 422-0700. Buena Vista Investment Management, 241 3rd Street South, Wisconsin Rapids.
I want to change some things.
I want to help more kids graduate from high school.
I want more of my neighbors to have access to health care.
I want to change what I see around here.
United Way is creating real, lasting change where you live by focusing on the building blocks of a better life: education, income, and health.
I just want to see more smiles on my sidewalks.
Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. For more, visit United Way at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from the Weather Eye Weather Center.
This afternoon, skies are going to become cloudy. We may have an isolated rain shower develop with our winds out of the northwest 5 to 10, highs in the low 50s. Could have a lingering rain shower tonight. Otherwise, skies will be mostly cloudy with west winds and lows falling into the mid-30s. Then on Saturday, mostly cloudy sky. We could have a spotty rain shower develop with west winds 5 to 10. Highs will make it into the middle 50s. From the WeatherEye Weather Center, powered by WeatherOlogy.com, I'm meteorologist Rig Tatro.
Partly sunny and 48 here at AM 1320. Welcome back to the Morning Magazine and Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Joel Sullivan sitting in for Pete this month, and we're talking about financial planning for retirement. We just learned that it pays, if you can, to delay the applying for Social Security until age 70. It can make a big difference. And you had some other points, Joel, that you wanted to make about that.
Yes, Carl, just to follow up on that, I mean, the other question you get is people say, well, okay, I understand if I delay, I'm going to get a higher benefit, but, you know, then I gave up that money for those 8 years, so essentially what is the break-even point? And when you do the math on this, the break-even point, if you delay from 62 to 66, age 76 would be the break-even point. So basically you need to, if you delay till 66, after you collect benefits for 10 years, then you break even. If you wait to age 70, then it's 78 before. So you have to, again, live past age 78. But the thing is, as we all know, people are living longer these days.
They're calling 70 the new 50 in some circles. I mean, you're seeing people who are very active in their 60s and 70s and even 80s. I mean, it's amazing.
Yes, absolutely. And with, you know, advances in healthcare, people are living longer. In fact, at age 65, about 80, the average life expectancy for a male or female is 86, 84 years old. That's average. And then statistics show a quarter of those people will actually live past 90. So way past the break-even
point. And as we have further advancements in medicine and as we get adopt more healthy lifestyles and the like, it further lengthens our life.
Yes,
now,
absolutely.
Other thing that we need to consider, like what is the number one thing I can do to help secure my lifestyle in retirement? That's the other thing. I want to maintain what I have right now.
Well, it's actually a short answer on that, and that's save more. And it might seem it might seem kind of you know, common sense that would be it, but you know, there's a lot of things that you can't control in retirement. You don't know, you know, like some people say, well, I'm going to work longer, but you don't know, maybe your health isn't going to be good when you're 65 and you can't work longer, or maybe your employer is downsizing, you know. So there's a number of things, you know, again, inflation and what are things going to cost. So there's a number of things you can't control. One of the things you can control is how much you save. And studies have, you know, we see these all the time, every couple of months, a new study is coming out showing how people have undersaved for retirement. And there's a couple of things to keep in mind here. One is a rule of thumb, you want to think about 15% of your income is what you should be putting aside for retirement. And that may sound like a lot. What I encourage people to do is at least get started. So if you're in your 20s, even if you're in your 30s and you're not there yet, you know, let's say you're saving 5%. Well, you know, then when you get a chance, you know, this year maybe raise it by 1% and raise it another time. And until you eventually get up to that 15, and those little 1% increases in savings, you're not going to notice on a day-to-day basis.
What's your suggestions for people who have been hit by downsizing or job loss or job retraining or whatever, and during that time, that transition period, obviously they probably weren't saving for retirement. They were just trying to keep their head above water. What's your suggestion for those people once they get back into the workforce?
Well, you know, those are difficult situations, and they need to, you know, we talked about catching up before, and it's difficult to catch up, but they need to do as much as they can. They would probably, if possible, have to work longer than they normally expected. But it kind of goes back to to what I'm talking about is saving more. And because you don't, those are things you can't control and you don't know when that's going to happen. And so if you're, again, either saving less or you're putting that off, like that example earlier, okay, I'm going to wait till, mm-hmm. you know, I'm 35 and then you're downsized at 50. Well, that was your plan, your original plan of when you were going to save more. And now you're out of work for a while. So you really need to start early. And save a lot. One last thing about saving more is that, you know, in the past, and I started in this business 25 years ago, they used to, you know, I remember hypotheticals saying, okay, what's your money going to make over, you know, the next, you know, 20 years? And I remember hypotheticals in the double digits, you know, 11, 12% is what you would project into the future. Well, we don't make those kind of returns anymore. And then even, you know, some people will say, well, 8 to 10%, my money's going to earn 8 to 10%. So if you do the, use that as an assumption, you don't have to save as much. But truthfully, you should probably be thinking more of a 6 to 8%, more of a conservative rate of return. And again, if you say, well, I'm going to make 6 or 8, the other side of that is then I need to save more money.
Okay, okay. And then that gets to the second point, the advantages of starting to save early in your career. And if you're consulting with the young, if you're talking to your son or daughter about as they're starting their career, listen up, because there are some huge advantages, as you've already demonstrated.
Yeah, just to kind of continue with that example we talked about earlier, the huge difference of that those 10 years make. Well, in that case, we had a person that, you know, saved for 10 years and then stopped, and then versus a person that waited 10 years. Well, let's take a look at the person that that started at 25 and continued savings all the way up until they were 65. So that same type of example, $5,000 a year, same rate of return, saving from 25 to age 65, you have about $1.1 million.
You'd be a millionaire.
So, yes. Yep. Yep. And it's really because of starting early and the compounding. And again, like I said, those are two things that you can control. So there's so many things in life and so many things in planning for retirement that you're not going to have control over. The amount you save and when you start it, those are two things you can control.
Okay. I'm very conservative because I don't want to lose money.
Well, this is a difficult one, and we do hear this on a regular basis. And you know, I think some of this, some people are just naturally more conservative and some are more aggressive than others. But in addition to that, you know, we've had some major downturns in the stock market over the last, you know, 12 years, 14 years. Going back, that 2000 period was a major downturn, and then the 08, 09 period. And that, I'm sure, I know, affects people's psyche and emotion when it comes to investing. But the truth of the matter is most people can't afford to be too conservative. When you look at rates of returns of CDs at, you know, 2% or less, you look at a 10-year government bond now at 2.5%, and inflation's a little bit lower than average right now, but if you have an inflation rate of 3%,
you're losing money.
You're losing money, and you have to be making more money than the rate of inflation, or you're going to safely run out of money in retirement.
Okay, so which means probably heading back to work or something like that.
Exactly.
Okay, so even though, and if you look historically, your money is better in the market than not in the market.
Right. And what we try to encourage people to look at is a diversified portfolio. There's a lot of advantages to diversify. So the answer isn't necessarily stocks versus bonds. You know, should I have all my money in bonds or CDs because I'm conservative? Or, you know, maybe I'll put it all in stocks because of the rate of return. Really what you want is a blended portfolio of U.S. stocks, international stocks, some bonds, you know, maybe real estate investments. And that blended portfolio gives you an attractive rate of return in the last 10 years. A blended, you know, kind of standard portfolio would give you about an 8% return, which is, you know, 4 or 5% above inflation. And less volatility. That's the thing that really inhibits people is when they see their portfolio have wild swings, especially big negatives. Well, a diversified portfolio, you don't have as big a highs, but you don't have as big a lows either.
Okay, okay. Is now a good time to be in the stock market?
Well, this is another question. Everybody, you know, and I don't know. Sometimes it's an excuse, and sometimes it's just maybe paralysis by analysis or something. So that,
yeah,
you know, people kind of look at, no, I don't think this is right. You know, I know I need to be in stocks, but now's not the time. There's again many studies on this. The one that J.P. Morgan did last year was, if you look at the stock market over the last 20 years, and if you just simply put your money in the S&P 500, and again, we talked about diversified portfolio, but just for the sake of an example, you put your money in the S&P 500, the 500 largest stocks in the U.S., and you did that 20 years ago, and you just ignored it, you would average about just over 8% rate of return per year. Now, that was a 20-year period. If you missed the 20 best days, essentially one a year, but if you miss the 20 best days, your return is less than 2%.
Oh.
Just by missing 20 days in 20 years. And when we try to show that graph to illustrate, do not try to time the market. There are some things that you can do. Actually, the opposite of timing the market is dollar cost averaging, especially if you're in a 401k or even if you're saving on your own in an IRA. Is dollar cost averaging is where you put a set amount of money away every month on a regular basis. So let's say it's $300 a month. Okay, on the 10th of the month, I'm going to invest $300. And in June, July, it doesn't matter. I don't care where the market is. I don't care what else is happening. I put it away on a regular basis. And what happens is when the market's up, you buy less shares. When the market's down, you buy more shares. So really, dollar cost averaging is the opposite of market timing, and it's a good way to put money away.
Okay. And so let's kind of wrap up our discussion looking at the current state of the stock market. People have been hearing ups and downs and bears versus bulls, and they're wondering what's going on. Is this, are we about to hit a bear market now, or is the bull going to live on?
Well, I guess the short answer is I don't know.
Okay.
And when we look at that is, and we don't care, per se, because we're not so, you need to be focused on the long term. You need to be focused on what you're trying to do. Again, whether it's that dollar cost averaging or not trying to time the market, you need to be in a diversified portfolio. But the truth of the matter is, yes, we could see a pullback where this market is now. It's at all time highs, both the Dow and the S&P, and we could see a pullback. If you are doing dollar cost averaging, that's going to be to your benefit. And I think in the short term, you might not, you know, you may see negative returns in your portfolio, but over time, it should be fine. And when you look at it, also the market today, actually, even though we're at all time highs, it's based on various valuation techniques. It's not that expensive. So if you look at other measurements besides just the absolute value of the markets, it's actually not that expensive compared to historic norms.
Okay. Stocks versus bonds. We touched on that a little bit, but...
Yeah, the thing about that is that, again, people that want to be conservative, they associate bonds with being conservative. And the issue with we talked about having a diversified portfolio, but just to talk about bonds by themselves, is we've had 20, 30 years of declining interest rates. And declining interest rates actually are beneficial to bonds. So as interest rates go down, the price of a bond goes up. And so really the returns in bonds have been quite attractive over the last 20 years. If you think about that, where we are with interest rates and how low they are, do you really think they have really much room to go significantly lower? We would say no. They're probably not going to go much lower. Maybe they'll stay the same, and very possibly they will be going up. And if you own, especially in a mutual fund or a longer-term bond, if you own that mutual bond fund or a longer-term bond, as interest rates go up, the value of your investment is going to go down. So you have to be careful, especially today, in thinking that you're safe and you're being conservative by having all your money in bonds.
Okay. Well, Joel, I've learned a lot. I'm sure our listeners have learned a lot this morning. And again, you can reach Buena Vista Investment Management at 715-422-0700. And they're located at 241 3rd Street South here in Wisconsin Rapids. And Joel, you did a good job sitting in for Pete. I appreciate your time.
Thanks a lot, Carl.
Okay, take care. Have a great weekend. And with that, we're going to wrap up this month's edition of Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management here in Wisconsin Rapids. And that's going to wrap up the Morning Magazine for today. As always, it's been brought to you by Riverview Medical Center and Comfort Air. CBS News is coming up next, and then Bob is in with Over the Back Fence. I'll be back at 12:06 with the Noon Report. Plenty of information for your lunch hour, including an update.